one God. Amen. Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. You've probably heard the phrase, I know that our police officers in here have definitely heard the phrase, when someone says, do you know who I am? You know, you say something and they're like, do you know who I am? Well, I've heard it once and I've heard other people speak about it. There's also times when people say, you know, do you know who my parents are? Or do you know who my father is? And that's kind of what we're talking about today. We're celebrating the ancestors of Christ. In the reading of the Synaxarion, which is the readings about the feast of the saint of the day today, it says that on this Sunday, we remember all the holy patriarchs of the Old Testament who prefigured or foretold Christ: Adam, Enoch, Melchizedek, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 patriarchs, and then all who lived under the law: Moses and Aaron, Joshua, Samuel, David, the prophets. And they list all the prophets, with the final prophet being John the Baptist, and finally the Virgin Mary, the intermediary between mankind and her divine Son. In Judaism, this is very important. Your heritage, your lineage is very important. That's, you know, the Israelites of the day, they saw their salvation as partly being part of the chosen people, part of being the nation of Israel that God had chosen to use for the salvation of mankind. And so to this day, it's still very important. There are certain sects within Judaism, the Hasidic, the very kind of ultra-Orthodox Jewish communities, where you can't actually convert to them. You can't be a part of their synagogue unless through your mother's lineage you have Jewish blood. So it's still very, very important to them. I mentioned the whole thing about Zacchaeus and how Christ told Zacchaeus he had to be born again. And for Zacchaeus, his salvation was because he was a son of Abraham, because he was part of the Jewish nation. And so it's interesting because today we're celebrating these prophets and we're celebrating those, the ancestors of Christ that came before him. This isn't necessarily the genealogy. This isn't people who are related to him. That's next week. And I'm so thankful that for the first time ever, I'm not actually going to be reading that gospel, but it's going to be one of the deacons who drew the short straw and is going to be reading all those names. But today we're celebrating not just those who came before him in terms of being related to Christ through his mother Mary, but those who foretold, his spiritual ancestors as well as his physical ancestors. And so it's really interesting that then you get to the epistle and the gospel of the day, because the gospel today is the story of the great feast. And in the feast, there's, you know, a man who's going to have a banquet, and he sends out for those that had been invited. And people who heard this would recognize, okay, the banquet, what he's talking about is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Those who had been invited were the Israelites. They were the Jewish people. Those were the people who were the chosen people. They were the ones who were invited to the banquet, who were part, naturally considered to be part of the kingdom of heaven. So he sends them out, and what do? They all have excuses. I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I pray, have me excused. Well, why do you have to buy a field why do you have to see your field that you bought? You mean you didn't look at it in the first place? It's not a good excuse. It's a ridiculous excuse. The second one is, I have 5 ox of yoking and I go to examine them. I pray you have me excused. They're going to be fine. They're ox. You know, just don't worry about it. Once again, it's not a good excuse. And the third one is, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I'm just going to leave that one there. Interpret that one however you like. But they're not good excuses. They're not good excuses to not come to this important event, this important banquet. And then you look at the epistle, and it's kind of the same thing. He's saying, Christ is writing to the Colossians, and he's saying, brethren, when Christ, who is our life, appears. This is something that we see again and again and again in the teachings of the church, that Christ isn't just some guy who came and said, this is how you be a good person. He isn't someone who just said, do this and do that and do the other, and you'll be saved. He is our life. We are to put on Christ. It's about our nature. And it talks about this a little bit later. And he says, then you will also appear with him in glory. It says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And this is what it's all about. It's all about life and death. It's about putting to death the old man, the sin and the passions that are in our life, and uniting ourselves to the only source of life. And so here he's listing some of these things, and some of these things become excuses as well. Fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And he says also, put away anger and wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature. You put on Christ. Don't you know that he who has been baptized into Christ has put on Christ, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And here there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. So all of a sudden it's not about being Jewish. It's not about being of the lineage of Abraham. It's about putting on Christ. And the question is, what is it that keeps us from putting on Christ? For some, it's being concerned with the material things of this world, whether it's a field or an oxen. For some, it's our relationship with other people. We're in relationships that lead us away from Christ. We have friends that lead us away from Christ. We allow people to get in the way of our most important relationship. I know of a very godly woman who told her daughter, who had been raised in the church, that of course she loves God more than she loves her, and the daughter unfortunately couldn't understand that. The daughter was grown at this point in time, but she couldn't understand that. And what she didn't understand is that it's through the mother's love for God that she can truly love her daughter. Because our love is not the love that God has for us. Our love can be selfish and whatnot. So it can be things that keep us from God. It can be the relationships, and it can be our view of ourself. It can be the idea that, okay, God, I need you, but I only need you when I really need you. Otherwise, I can do this on my own. And ultimately, what it comes down to is pride. And that can either show up in terms of, I want to do things my way, or I can do things my way, and when I need you, I'll call out to you. But ultimately, all of these things are excuses that every one of us make in our lives to not go to the banquet, to not be a part of the kingdom of God. Well, the beautiful thing is, the only thing that's unforgivable, that unforgivable sin, is not repenting. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is just not repenting, because that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he brings us to repentance. And so the wonderful thing is, while we have these things in our lives, these things that we need to confess to God constantly, we should have a short little time of reflection and confession every evening, but then also we should come to confession for the sacrament of confession. That's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing to come, and you know, you might be nervous when you come, and you might say, okay, I'm kind of ashamed to come. But don't be ashamed of your repentance, because that's what it is. It's your repentance. The things that we do can be shameful, but there's no shame in coming to a priest to have your confession heard. That's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And I know that my fellow brothers who hear confessions here will agree with me that it's a gift to be able to hear those. So confess to God, but also come to a time of confession. You know, we're coming to the very end of this fast. And so come and confess before the Nativity, before Christ comes. Come and confess the things that keep you from that banquet, that keep you from that feast that we're going to celebrate of God becoming one of us because he loved us so much, in order to forgive us, in order to free us from those things that keep him from him, to his glory and that of the Father and the All Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.